You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 122. And today we continue reading from volume 2, from the section related to Jesus and his teaching mission. Today we will begin reading number 13. Jesus goes from Abel Mahula to Bezek. Next morning found Jesus still at the school of Abel Mahula. He was quite surrounded by the little girls who crowded close upon him, holding on to his garments and clasping his hand. He was unspeakably kind to them and exhorted them to obedience and fear of God. The larger ones stood back. The disciples present were somewhat annoyed and uneasy. They were anxious for their master to take his departure. According to their Jewish notions, such familiarity with children was not becoming in a prophet, and they feared it would injure his reputation. Jesus did not trouble himself about their thoughts. After he had instructed all the children, addressed some exhortations to the larger ones, and encouraged their teachers in their good resolutions, he directed one of the disciples to give the little girls a present, and each, in effect, received two small coins fastened together. I think they were 2 drachmas. Then Jesus blessed them all in general and left the place with the disciples, starting eastward toward the Jordan. During the journey, Jesus taught in a field before some huts, where a crowd of laborers and shepherds had gathered. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, they reached the neighborhood of Bezek, and about 2 hours east of Abel Mahula and near the Jordan. It was like 2 distinct cities, lying as it did on both sides of a stream that flowed into the Jordan. The country around was hilly and rugged, and houses stood somewhat scattered. Bezek was less a city than 2 united villages. The inhabitants lived to themselves with very little intercourse with strangers. They were chiefly engaged in husbandry, and they leveled their rugged and hilly farmlands with great labor. They also manufactured agricultural implements for sale and wove coarse carpets and canvas for tents. About 1.5 hours from this place, the Jordan made a bend toward the west, as if about to flow straight to Mount Olivet. It turned back, however, thus forming a kind of peninsula on its eastern bank, upon which stood a row of houses. In coming from Galilee to Abel Mahula, Jesus had to cross a little river. Enon was on the opposite side of the Jordan about 4 hours, perhaps from Bezek. Jesus taught in an inn outside the city. The first of those erected for his and his disciples' accommodation that he had met on this journey since leaving Bethania. It was in the charge of a pious, upright man who went out to meet the travelers, washed their feet, and gave them refreshments, after which Jesus entered the city. The superintendents of the school came out into the street to receive him, and he visited several houses and cured the sick. There were now 30 disciples with Jesus. Those from Jerusalem and its environs had arrived with Lazarus, and several of John's disciples had come. Some of the latter were just from Machaerus, with a message to Jesus from their master, a pressing request to reveal himself more clearly and to say only that he was the Messiah. Among these messengers of John was the son of a widower, Cleophas. I think he was Cleophas of Emmaus, a relative of Cleophas, the husband of Mary's eldest sister. Another of these disciples was Judas Barsabbas, related to Zachary of Hebron. His parents, though living now in Cana, had once dwelt in Nazareth. Among these disciples of John, I still recall others. The sons of Mary Healy, the eldest sister of the Blessed Virgin, were John's disciples. They were born so long after their sister Mary Cleophas that they were scarcely older than her sons. They clung to the Baptist until he was beheaded and then joined the disciples of Jesus. The married couple who directed the inn at Bezek were good, devout people. They observed continence by virtue of a vow, although they were not Essenians. They were distant relatives of the Holy Family. During his stay here, Jesus had several private interviews with these good people. All the friends and disciples ate and slept with Jesus in the newly erected inn. They found ready for them, thanks to the forethought of Lazarus and the holy women, table furniture, covers, carpets, beds, screens, and even sandals and other articles of clothing. Martha had near the desert of Jericho a house full of women, whom she kept busy preparing all these things. She had gathered together many poor widows and penniless girls who were striving to lead a good life. There they lived and worked together. All was carried on quietly and unknown to the public. It was no little thing to provide for so many inns and so many people, and to superintend them constantly above all, to send messengers around to them or give them personal attention. The next morning, Jesus delivered a long and magnificent discourse on a hill in the middle of the city, where the inhabitants had erected for him a teacher's chair. The crowd was great, and among them were about 10 Pharisees, who had come from the places around with the intention of catching Jesus in his words. His teaching here was mild and full of love, for the people who were well-disposed had profited by John's visit and instructions, and especially by the baptism which many of them had received. Jesus exhorted them to remain contented with their humble condition, to be industrious, and to show mercy to their neighbor. He spoke of the reign of grace, of the kingdom of the Messiah, and more significantly than ever of himself. He alluded to John and his testimony to his imprisonment, and the persecution directed against him. He spoke likewise of the royal adulterer, for the denunciation of whom John had been cast into prison, though in Jerusalem certain men guilty of the same crime, but who had carried on their evil doings less openly than Herod, had been condemned and executed. Jesus spoke significantly and to the point. He gave particular admonitions to each condition, age, and sex. A Pharisee, having asked whether he was going to take John's place or whether he was the one of whom John had spoken, Jesus answered indirectly and reproached the questioner with his evil intention to entrap him. After that, Jesus gave a very touching instruction. To the boys and girls, he counseled the boys to bear with one another. If one should strike a companion or throw him down, the ill-treated party should bear it patiently and think not of retaliating. He should turn away in silence, forgiving his enemy, and his love should become twice as great as it was before. Yes, for they should show affection even to enemies. They should not covet the goods of others. If a boy wanted the pen, the writing materials, the plaything, the fruit belonging to his neighbor, the latter should relinquish not only the object coveted, but give him still more if allowed to do so. They should fully satisfy their neighbor's cupidity if permitted to give the things away. For only the patient, the loving, and the generous should have a seat in his kingdom. This seat Jesus described to them in childlike terms as a beautiful throne. He spoke of earthly goods, which a man must give up in order to attain those of heaven. Among the admonitions to the girls, he warned them not to seek to excel others, but to envy others for their fine clothes, but to be gentle, and obedient, to love their parents and fear God. At the close of the public instruction, Jesus turned to his disciples, consoled them with more than ordinary tenderness, and exhorted them to bear all things with him and not to be preoccupied with the cares of this world. He promised that they should be richly rewarded by their Father in heaven and with himself should possess the kingdom. He spoke to them of the persecutions that he and they would have to suffer and said plainly, "If the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or the Herodians should love or praise ye, it would be a sign that ye had wandered far from my teachings and were no longer my disciples." He mentioned those sects with significant nicknames. Then he praised the people of the place, particularly for their charitable compassion, for they often took poor orphans from the school at Abel Mahula into their service. He congratulated them on the new synagogue they had built by contribution, in which some of the devout souls at Capernaum also had joined. Then he cured many of their sick, took a repast with all the disciples at the inn, and in the evening, when the Sabbath began, went to the synagogue. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Well, how interesting what we heard in the very beginning of our reading today, that Jesus speaking to children was very controversial for him, that it was unbecoming of a prophet, and they thought it would injure his reputation. This is why, I guess, you know, now with that, knowing that, I don't know if you knew that. I'm not sure I knew that. And so it kind of makes sense what we hear in the Gospels, that the people were trying to deter the children from coming to Jesus, and Jesus says, "No, no, let the little children come to me." And so Jesus gives that teaching over and over again, probably because of these experiences that he has had. As he was speaking, it says he was unspeakably kind to them. Jesus was gentle here, exhorted them to obedience and fear of God. Because he was kind, they were open to his message. His message saying, well, obey the commandments, obey other people, obey God, and fear God. That fear of God is the fear of offending God. And so that's one of the teachings we have of the Lord today. We heard about those who were following John the Baptist, some of the relatives of Mary, and so forth. It says, they clung to the Baptist until he was beheaded and then joined the disciples of Jesus. So they realized that this teaching of Jesus is really the continuation or the fulfillment of the teaching of the one that they were following, namely John the Baptist. And then we have this one. He spoke of earthly goods which a man must give up in order to attain those of heaven. There are certain things we have to give up to attain heaven. Most especially if those things are things that we are attached to that cause us to sin, that lead us into sin. We have to denounce those things to attain heaven. What is it that the Lord might be asking you to give up so that you more certainly will attain the eternal joy of heaven? Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.